Our first scripture this morning is from Psalm 23. And you'll have to forgive me if I slide into King James Version, because that's how I memorized it. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Our second scripture is from John chapter 14, verse 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How could we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I've been doing quite a little bit of speaking here this year, substituting for people who had to go on vacation or various things. And although y'all are not new to me, since I am a member here, but I usually start out my others by saying that I know their minister is a lot younger than I am. And whoever I'm substituting for is also probably a lot better speaker. But there is something that I do have over them, and I am certainly a lot more colorful because I know they don't have 50 tabs. At least I don't think Ken has 50 tattoos. The other thing about guest speakers are they are usually mercifully short. So this won't be really a long, long time today, I hope. Let us pray. God of resurrection and life, we enter the season after Pentecost. Help us discern how you are still at work in the world and how we may be part of your grand story. The Sunday after Pentecost is a celebration of the Trinity, one God in three persons. And since this is Trinity Sunday, that's why the Nicene Creed was selected, because it puts a special emphasis on the Trinity, the three in one. Now, this topic is called the Good Shepherd, and I'm pretty much going to repeat everything that was said in the first three or four songs we've had this morning. Psalm 23 is probably considered one of the Bible's most beloved poems. And when you read it, it just exemplifies, I think, the power that you get out of Psalms. And like Shauna said, I like to read the Psalms in the King James Version because that's what I grew up with. But the Psalm 23 especially captures the beauty and the value of our multi-dimensional relationship with God. We have a very complex relationship, and this psalm addresses that, I think, probably better than any other one. It is simple and straightforward, you know, as Shauna read it, and we're all familiar with it, but it is also profound and deep in meaning. There's a lot of things to be found in the 23rd Psalm. It also appeals to both adults and children. It also appeals to the new believer and the seasoned veteran, so to speak. And this metaphor of the Good Shepherd is used throughout the scripture, as we just heard in the reading of 23rd Psalm. Now, even in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel, leaders of tribes and kings are appointed as shepherds to care for and protect their flocks. And of course, the psalm also describes the Lord as the ultimate shepherd. And so in today's scripture reading, Jesus describes his own relationship with those who follow him. The shepherd offers eternal life within the security of being held in the hand of the Father. And when you look at that second reading in John, which happened to be my mother's favorite verse, you can see that. Now, I'm going to get a plug in here for Thursday night study. We do a Bible study or a book study on Thursday nights. We're off for the summer. And there's a book by a fellow by the name of Robert J. Morgan, who is a minister in Nashville. Although he actually comes from Elizabethton. He was born and raised in Elizabethton. The book, which we are going to use as a study, is called The Lord is My Shepherd, Resting in the Peace and Power of Psalm 23. So if you want to get a really good, thorough analysis of this particular psalm, I would highly recommend you getting that book. It is a very interesting book, and we will actually be starting that in the fall. Now, the metaphor of the shepherd, I think, is a very extremely important metaphor in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Bible is populated by millions of sheep. One time the Israelites, and I have some figures here, see 650,000 sheep from the Midianites. The Assyrian king Sennacherib took 800,000 from his enemy's lands. King Ahab demanded 100,000 rams as a tribute from the king of Moab. And at the dedication of the temple, Solomon offered 120,000 as a sacrifice at that time, and then annually 300,000 after that. So sheep are very prominent in the Bible, and they are mentioned more than any other animal. And I think one of the reasons that we can see that is because they are to remind us of ourselves, so to speak. But the primary lesson is that we need a lifelong shepherd, one who loves us and whom we can love in return. And that's exactly the kind of God the Bible describes as our shepherd. The tender affection between sheep and shepherd is a picture of our own relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look carefully, you will see that the psalm is written in the present tense. English teachers would notice that. In the present tense. That means it's not something for us to wait for. It's not waiting for fulfillment. It's not a prediction. It's a fact. It implies God is doing something right now, at this very time, this very second. So it's our reality currently. Our Lord, is a shepherd whose presence is instant, immediate, and accessible every day, every hour, every moment. And there are a lot of Bible verses, and I have some here I'm going to quote to you, that express that feeling about it being now and not in the future. In Exodus, it said, "The Lord is my strength and my song." In 1 Corinthians, it says, "God is faithful, God is stronger, and God is holy." Romans says, "God is for us." And then in John, it says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd." Now, that little word, "my," the Lord is my shepherd, that little bitty word makes it very, very personal for us. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, we're really saying I am his sheep. I am under his management and I am under his care. I have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. a friendship that does for me everything ancient shepherds did for their flocks and even more. And we see those descriptions many, many times. And when we look at the biblical shepherd, we can divide his, I assume it was his, maybe not hers too, roles, and they also can apply to us today. For example, the shepherd would first seek lost and straying livestock. And that could be soul winning and evangelism for us. The shepherd was responsible for feeding the sheep. Teaching and preaching for us fulfills that obligation. The shepherd guided the flocks, provided leadership. The shepherd also tended the sheep. And for us, tending the sheep could be visiting, could be counseling, could be pastoral care, could be all of the things that the church as a community does. The shepherd also protected the flocks. Protected the flocks from predators primarily. And that's maybe a little bit of a stretch for us, but you can think of that as maybe ethics or doctrinal purity or maintaining the Bible and all that it says. And then finally, loving their flocks. In Isaiah, it is summed up best. It says, "The Lord tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." That's Isaiah 40, verse 11. There is an author by the name of Roy Gustafson. He does tours of the Holy Lands, and he also writes travel logs and things like that. And he, in one of his books on the Holy Land, he tells of an encounter that his group had with a shepherd at an oasis. And they were, while they were talking, and there were about 100, 125 sheep there. And the people in the group were asking him various questions. And somebody asked if his sheep had names. And Gustafson says he immediately started pointing out individual sheep and telling what their names were, which is really kind of amazing. And he says, Gustafson couldn't help recalling what Jesus had said about the good shepherd in John. Quote, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And of course, the Bible tells us we are also, our names are written in the book of life. Now, in that regard, I used to work with a fellow who had lots of baby goats and sheep. And every once in a while, he would bring pictures of them to the lab where I worked. And people would say, "Oh, they are so cute. Did you name them?" And he says, "Oh, no, I'd never name anything I might later want to eat." But the shepherd didn't feel that way. He had names for his. Now, being compared to a sheep is not the best thing for us, I wouldn't think. A sheep is an animal that's utterly clueless, totally helpless, without a human, their shepherd, being nearby. A flock of sheep without a shepherd is a pathetic sight. You never hear of sheep migrating along in great flocks, fending for themselves, or surviving without external protection and help. They panic at the slightest sound. They have no sense of direction, little native intelligence, and no way to defend themselves. They can't track down their own food and can even get lost in their own pasture. Well, that's not a very good comparison for us. We would like to think we're a little better than that, I think. But they are like us. We might think we can get along just fine without a gracious and a good God. And many people try. And I'm sure all of us have tried sometime during our life. But in the end, we are nothing but sheep without a shepherd when we try to distance ourselves from a loving God. Without someone tending us, we become just as ragged and unhealthy and utterly pathetic as the sheep. Jesus, when he describes in the book of John, He describes an active relationship. Those who belong to him listen to his voice. Listening is active, implying an attentiveness to his word. So we're describing in this psalm a trust in God that is constant and stands fast when under attack. It is a firmness in our belief. It is also referred to as a psalm of trust, projecting a way of life in which the people of God rely on God at all times. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus was moved with compassion for the multitudes, for they, quote, they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And of course, we remember the parable of the lost sheep where the shepherd leaves the 99, goes in search of the one. And then later in the New Testament, Jesus will tell Peter very pointedly, tend my sheep and feed my sheep. Now, finally, and this is relatively short, properly thinking about the Lord in quotes expands our minds. When we think about that, it can't help but humble our hearts, balance our thoughts, clarifies our perspectives on various things, and of course, reassures our spirits and strengthens our souls as we grow our faith. So as we think right about God, everything assumes a proper proportion. He is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, our gate, our lamb, in the resurrection of your Son, you have brought us into your fold. Guide us to your clear streams and tame the wolves at the gate. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.